Now let's see, my next guest is an actress. She went from appearing beside Colin Farrell in the movie Intermission to playing a key role in the Breaking Bad spin-off That's Better Called Saul. She's also played Octavia in the TV show Rome, Mairead Riley in Ballykiss Angel, Clara in The Walking Dead, and if you've seen the new Avengers movie and noticed that Irish accent, well, that'll be her. Kerry Condon is her name, and she's from Thurles in County Tip. Well, Kerry, you're very welcome to the programme. Let's go right back. Back far as, say, as I don't know, Intermission. How did that one come about, Intermission?
That one came about because I actually auditioned for the part that Kelly MacDonald played.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got offered that as a sort of, you were great, but no, but maybe you might like to do this. Which is always nice. It's better than...
And probably happens a lot, does it?
Not as often as you think. No, more like, it's just no.
What about was Alan Parker involved in you with Angela's Ashes? Or
yeah, that was like only for him. It would have been so hard to get a break, because to get an agent you need a job, and you know, to get a job you need an agent. So I had written to him though, like a few years before, because I like Bugsy Malone and yeah. Midnight Express. He casts a lot of unknowns and does different genres and stuff. So I had written to him, and but he never got the letter. It was just pure luck that.
Do you know something? First. You wrote to a lot of people.
I know. Yeah. I've stopped.
You wrote to all those big names in Hollywood. Never got an answer, did you?
No.
Did you end up ever meeting any of those big names in Hollywood, like casting directors or big agents or big directors, and then say, listen, do you know I wrote you a letter 20 years ago? And they go, really, did you? This one's really crazy.
No, I wouldn't say it now. But I did say it to Alan Parker when I was auditioning for Angela's Ashes, when I was close to getting it. I didn't want to sabotage my chances early on. But yeah, when I was close to getting it, I told him, but he never got it.
Where do we go, if we were to go right back and look at some kind of, I don't know, like... proper history of you. Do we go back to Ballykiss Angel? Do we go back before that?
Oh, the very first job was Angela's Ashes.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that was Ballykiss Angel. And then Rat, that other movie with Imelda Staunton. And then I went and did theatre for a year and a half. So I sort of moved to... Oh, How Harry Became a Tree was in there at some point too. And then I went to do Hamlet and Lieutenant of Inishmore in London for a year and a half.
Right. How is Hamlet? You didn't do Hamlet in the Leaving Cert or anything, did you?
No, no. It was the long version. It was about 4 hours long. And it was difficult because I was doing it with at the same time as Lieutenant. So I was kind of juggling the both of the roles. You know what was awful is because I did it and was encouraged to do it in my own accent. And that didn't go down very well in England. So, whereas I suppose people couldn't really digest an Irish person reading Shakespeare, I'm sure that was blowing their minds a little.
I'm sure it probably was. Then again, look at Kenneth Branagh. He's Irish, for God's sake. Okay, listen, I'll tell you what, rather than just go through some of those things, I want to go up to what is right now.
Okay.
Right now is, we all know, I mentioned The Sopranos earlier on, and there's all the stuff in between, as I say, West Wing, and I don't know, The Good Wife, and a million other things that are just everything HBO wise and box set seems to be taken over, etc. Game of Thrones being now, etc., being the biggest of all of that kind of thing. But in the middle was Breaking Bad, and Breaking Bad became like just the phenomenon that it deserved to become. Now, you get a call, or you decide to go to some kind of a casting thing, and you have obviously got no idea what it is, because secrecy has surrounded like nobody's business. So what did you do? What phone call was made? Why did you get up out of bed and go to whatever it is you went to?
Well, basically, they had seen luck, so I knew there was some sort of interest in me for it, and it wasn't just like a blind, you know, I knew there was some good thing that I had done that they liked. And I was told it was Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
So I had associated that with Breaking Bad. I hadn't seen Breaking Bad, but I had heard great things about it. And I trusted the lady that was casting, and I trusted my agent that they were like picking something that was going to be good.
Okay, well then what happened was they did this thing, which on paper is very scary thing. I go, don't do it, don't do it, which is a spin-off program of simply take one character from a successful program and do that too. Now I've seen all 10 programs, and I have to be honest, I think it's really, really good. Very different than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
No idea where it was going by 5 or 6. Have a pretty much idea now. The problem with it is, or not the problem, is that the two main characters in it, we already know where they're going to end up because we've seen Breaking Bad. Have you watched Breaking Bad?
Do you know what I have? But I haven't watched the last season, so don't spoil it for me.
When are you allowed to talk about a bleeding series?
I should think now we can talk about it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, the very end.
No, don't tell me the last season.
Okay, hold on. Okay, well, let's get back to what you are now, because Better Call Saul is, as I say, 6 years before Breaking Bad. The character that you're playing is, I'm allowed to say all this, right? Because there's backstories of Saul and backstories particularly of Mike, one of people's favourite characters from Breaking Bad. And we find out exactly what it was when he was a cop and why he now isn't a cop and why he's in Albuquerque and all that kind of stuff. Okay. The reason is, one of the greatest scenes in Better Call Saul is the long scene with you and him. And it's the one where he actually says why he is where he
because
is.
Because of the son.
Yeah, because of Matty. Okay, Matty being married to you. And you have to sit there and be his foil of whatever he's kind of... And he's got these fantastic quotes coming out of him, like, you know, I broke my boy.
Yes,
because he made his boy do what he had done. Sorry, I'm rambling now. But what he had done, and he kind of did it too late, because as he said himself, I made him lesser. I made him like me.
And they killed him anyway.
And the bastards killed him anyway. Get it right, for God's sake.
You know, it wasn't my line.
I know. So you're there kind of... And you're wondering why you've got $6,000 in the house and all this kind of thing. So the whole thing is happening. Well, like, what's it like? How many times did the actor who plays Mike, how many times did he do it?
See, I can't remember exactly, but, you know, because they did it from different angles. They tried to limit the amount he had to do it because it was quite an emotional scene and they didn't want, I suppose, drain him because we had to do it from different angles. But I, you know, it was a nice opportunity for me to sort of, because I wasn't on camera for a lot of it. I mean, I was when they turned around on me, but that took like, what, half an hour or whatever. But like for most of the time it was on him to sort of be there for him, because it's nice to do that. It's nice to make the person feel like they're not alone. It was a hard monologue. I mean, he is non-interrupted for such a long time and he had all those beats to play. So to just sit there looking at him blankly would have been sort of selfish, you know, and left him on his own. So it was a nice opportunity to be like, I feel for you, Mike, like I'm listening, or, you know, act like the character even though I wasn't on camera the whole time.
But there's an element also of the fact that he's trying to tell you something here, that, you know, your husband is dead because of him.
And he's a killer, because isn't that the line she has at the end?
Well, of course. Just let's take that scene. I want to stay with that scene for a second or two.
Okay.
Because, you know, you are trying to be sympathetic to the guy. This is an old guy who made a huge mistake and you really have to be, because all he wants to do is save his life, rectify his life, and he's going to need you to do that. He's certainly going to need your kid to do that.
Yes.
So you're going to have to let him do that. So you sit beside him and be nice to him at the very end. And the camera's at the far side of the room on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic.
Normally you get the next episode of the show, you know, when you're doing that one. So you have a sense of where you're going. But this, it wasn't. It was just like, this is what we're doing now. And I'd no idea where it was going. So you kind of have to play it a lot of different ways to keep it open for, because you don't know where they're going to go. So they have to have the option. So, you know, is she sort of sympathetic to him or is she very cold and, so you know, in shock or blah, blah, blah. So I sort of left it up to the editor, you know, and just played it different ways.
Because the character you play then as well, just to stay with this again, which is Better Call Saul, is dowdy enough in some ways. I mean, you're struggling. You're trying to get there. You're doing the best you possibly can. And in fact, I'm going to give another quote, which is when, sorry, I know, but whatever. Listen, I'll tell you what we do.
Give
me
the quote.
No, when we play this, we'll make people go, what? What's he talking about? But maybe they'll have seen Better Call Saul by Christmas, so we'll do it in the best of the year as well.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Okay, but anyway, it's very important, because when you come in from work, are you wearing a kind of an
scrubs.
Yes, fine, of some sort.
Yes.
Of like, a not particularly brilliantly well-paid.
Atrocious,
the equivalent of a blue-collar job or whatever.
I mean, I looked atrocious. Not that people who are nurses are atrocious
script.
At
it's
all.
It's the same as what he says when he's talking to you in his monologue, which is brilliant. It's very kind of economy of words and all the rest of it. But when he says to you, how was work? And you say, well, it was work.
Yes.
Like, that speaks volumes, as in, like, let's, can we just talk about something else? I'm home for work, you know?
Yeah,
crap.
Yeah. And it was kind of that area of America, even though they'd moved there from Philadelphia, but that sort of, you know, it's a poor part of the country. I'm sure there are the odd rich person, but it's quite poor.
Yeah.
And so it reminded me of the This Must Be the Place character was kind of similar, like a single parent living in the middle of nowhere by herself, totally kind of down and alone or whatever. It seems
when
to
you
be
say
my...
This Must Be the Place, which is the Sean Penn movie that, which was in Dublin and all the rest of it. So tell us, with that movie, at that stage, were you becoming so famous you could pick and choose your roles?
No, way, nobody is that famous. That's a complete lie. If anyone's telling you that, there's competition at every level. No, that was, you know, Paolo. I had, you know, seen his movies, and I was so excited. And of course, Sean Penn. But again, I had to work for that one too. That wasn't handed to me.
Okay, other ones that you might have got are like having to go for stuff and maybe read for and try and do. By the way, we're talking to Kerry Condon just about, obviously, Better Call Saul is the big one for me at the moment, and obviously The Walking Dead as well. And it's terrible, I'm not going to talk about The Walking Dead because I haven't seen it.
That's okay.
It's all right, is it?
Absolutely okay.
Right, okay, yeah. Sorry, where was I? What were they talking about?
Well, this must be the place and then some...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay, just going for other things. I mean, like, what do you call it? Rooney Mara got the role.
Yes.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Now, did you sit for that? Did you audition for that?
Yes.
And so did Scarlett Johansson, did they? And all these
everybody wanted it, yeah.
Right, so did you like... Did Scarlett get out of the room and say, jeepers, good luck with that there. Kerry, you're having a chance.
No, I think Scarlett got hers like at a separate time. It was submitted via tape. You know, right. It was a tape one.
What do you do? You have to do a reading. I presume it's not with your man Daniel Craig or anything.
No, that was kind of a weird one, actually. You had to read... recite a poem in a Swedish accent or a piece of a play or something, like a monologue. And then you also had to tell a personal story from your past. I can't remember what the specifics were that were. But it was a very strange audition. It wasn't the normal, like, read these lines that these are going to be in this... This is what you have to say.
When you know it's somebody like David Fincher involved, you say, I'll just do anything. I'll do it upside down naked if I have to, but I definitely want to do an audition for David Fincher. Is that it?
Absolutely. I was like, can I be hired to clean the toilets, please, just so I can see what you're like to work for? Yeah, totally. Of course.
So then, rather than have asked you at the very beginning, which most people say at the very beginning to every actor, I can ask it now in the middle in terms of, like, what is it that attracts you to all these things? Is it a script? Is it a role? Is it knowing damn well you'll be in safe hands? What is it?
Oh, God, that depends. Like, I suppose if it's somebody very iconic and somebody sort of proved themselves and their movies are just incredible, then you do it even if you didn't think it was going to be good. There was a script I remember reading, Black Swan, and to be honest, I thought that script was terrible. But it was like, well, Darren Aronofsky's, you know, has had, you know, the other scripts were not very good and the movies turned out great. And then when I saw Black Swan, I was like, oh my God, it was way better. So you do have to sort of, you know, if the person has had great work, trust them. But most of the time it's the script, like with TV and stuff, or the character, because the director who creates the pilot, they leave. So you want it to be, you know, something that you like or, you know, that you think is good.
Yeah, but most of the time you say it probably isn't scripted, but sometimes it could be, listen, this box set could go on for 10 years. I get really good, solid work out of this.
I know.
Pop out the other few months and do a gig of the do a movie.
Yeah, very true. I mean, you know, a lot of times people do stuff for money and sometimes, you know, there's a sense of like, that's shameful. I'm like, there's no shame in doing something for money. Are you crazy?
Not. Okay, by the way, I'm going to be like referencing Better Call Saul every so often, so I just need to know, do you, like, I mean, we know now there's 10 programs. It's obviously going to be recommissioned. Probably already has, hasn't it, for a second series?
Yes, they start shooting in June, believe. Yes.
Right, okay.
But so it'll be a while before it comes out.
Oh, yeah, it'll be like next February, March.
Yeah,
I suppose,
yeah. No, whatever, it's a long ways.
That'll be another 10.
Or maybe 12.
We're just trying to think where it might go from here now, because we can see what's happened. I can talk about the end, for God's sake. For, like, we can see, like, anyway, everybody knows where Saul goes to anyway, because they've seen Breaking Bad.
Six years later. But like,
it's how he gets there.
There's quite a few years, isn't there?
Yeah. But you don't know, do you?
Not a clue. I don't even know if I'm going to be back in it.
Yeah, but like, the Mike is in Breaking Bad with the kid in the playground thing. You know?
Yeah, but so, then it's sort of Mike's storyline. Like, I wouldn't be surprised or not surprised. You know what I mean? Like, it's really his storyline. Like, what can Stacey, what other kind of manipulating can she do, really? She didn't manipulate him, but you know what I mean? She basically said, this money, yeah, it's great, but like, shit, we need a lot more. It's only a drop in the bucket, basically. So how much more of that can she do?
Well, we'll find out if there is a second series with you in it.
That's why I'm not a writer. I would be brutal.
By the way, just other ones. I mean, like, could you have been in the Harry Potters and the Hobbits and those kind of movies? There was talk that you might have been. Or...
I did audition for Harry Potter.
Right.
That was Alfonso Cuarón, and he gave me that job not that long ago in Believe, so it came around again.
You see, this is it, yeah.
That was a cool idea he had. He wanted me to be a guy and then, like, in another part of the movie, play a girl. Sort of like a trick on the audience that it was the same actor playing a guy and a girl. He ended up just casting it. I had to do, like, makeup and have a little kind of tash and everything. But he ended up just getting a guy and a girl. It was probably too wacky an idea or something.
All right, fair enough. And, like you've been movieing for, like, all your life, really, in some ways. I mean, back in Thurles as a kid, you'd be watching the Oscars with your mother. And did you sort of say, I'm going to do that someday?
Completely. Completely. Like, I can remember my first film that I saw.
Your brother was nodding his head going, yeah, I was there. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Rod, totally. Always wanted to, even when I was in school. I can't remember not wanting to be an actress. I can't remember a moment when I sort of thought of something else. I would have always recorded, like, my own radio shows or, like, there was always... I wasn't annoying, though. I wasn't, like... Do you know that annoying star kid kind of thing? I was doing it by myself.
And how did you become an actress?
How did I come? I got the part in Angel's Ashes.
So you just, went to an audition?
Yeah, and it was like an open casting at the time. Yeah. Do you remember? It was like everyone from Ireland could go up for it. And I just knew that was it. I was like, if I don't get this, I'm screwed. I can't afford to pay for RADA or any of those. Not screwed, but like, oh, it's going to be really hard.
And you have to be where it is. I mean, two years in New York and the last bunch of years, LA direction, Hollywood, you feel you have to be there, do you?
I don't know. I think now, because of the internet and, you know, tape and auditions and stuff, you could probably be anywhere. But I, you know, like the lifestyle in Los Angeles. I like the sun, like outdoors. I also like being in the place where I'm doing the accent. It's very easy to do an American accent when you're surrounded by Americans. I imagine it's a little harder to do it, you know, when you're constantly distracted. I can't even call home when I'm playing an American person because I'm like, I don't want to hear the accent because it's going to start coming out.
Right, and it'll start affecting the one you're supposed to try to affect.
Yeah, so I do like being in the place that I'm supposed to be from, the character is supposed to be from.
And what about theatre? Is it good for your brain to do the same thing every night? Which is like one of the things that people say about theatre, being good or bad. Like, well, Cripple of Inish Man, I mean, like, you always wanted to work with Gary Hines.
Yes, and
everybody.
I'd still love to do another play with Gary Hines. Yeah, I love doing theatre. Because it sort of reminds you, like, you don't make any money, you break even, really. So you'd know that you're doing it because you love it. You know what I mean? There's that reminder that that's why you did it in the first place. You feel very confident. You can do props. You can, you know, remember all your lines. And you also have better comic timing, or at least sort of know how it's going to read, pauses, how long they play. Stuff like that, when people don't know how to dissect a script... You know, I can imagine you come across very bland or you need a lot of direction or editing or whatever. But if you do theatre, you sort of know how to set up a joke without hamming it up, obviously, but how to set things up. And
when you say you might like, say Martin McDonagh or something like that, would you say is that that's when you see it on the page or experience it in the theatre?
I've experienced Beauty Queen of Lean Anne because I went to see that, but I've never experienced the ones I've been in because I was in them, and also when the other people did them, I just couldn't bear the thoughts that someone else was playing my part.
Really?
Yeah, I'm real childish like that. But reading them, like just the women parts, the parts in general, but particularly the women parts.
So could I say then, the headliner of this interview, I hate Rooney Mara, no?
Do you?
No, I was going to say, could you say that because she took your part?
God, no, of course there's room for everyone. And actually, you know, she was really good in it.
Yeah.
So, no, you can't get bitter. No, you know, that looks so unattractive.
Yeah. It really does.
Doesn't it?
It does. Well, listen, hold on, Kerry. Finally, then, what's next then for you? Where are you going next? I mean, obviously, this thing. You finished film Better Than Call Saul when? A long time ago?
That finished a long time ago, yeah. I have a part to play in the new Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's crap, yeah. Really? Don't tell me. Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. Is not in it.
Imagine, yeah, like I took over from her. No, she's in it. That's the next thing that's coming out, and then I'm filming another thing, but I can't really say what it is because I want to get into trouble.
That's all right. Okay, well, just on the Avengers thing, like, what are you playing in it so I can say, look, there's Kerry.
It's a voice.
Oh, I see. That's all you're going to tell me, is it?
That's all. Because I'm terrified they'll shoot me.
Yeah, okay, indeed. Well, listen, Kerry, thank you very much for dropping
in
to say hello.
Me.
And may the road rise with you. And thank you very much. Say hello to all our American cousins.
Thanks
Good
so
luck.
Much.
See you. Take it. And we'll see you in a second series of Better Call Saul this time next year.
Maybe.
Brilliant. Thanks Kerry. Good luck. Take
Bye.
It easy. Bye.